It is time now to check in on Orange County government. We have County Commissioner Penny Rich here in the studio, the chair of the board, to catch us up on goings-on. OrangeCountyNC.gov for more information on county government. Commissioner, how are you?
Hey, Aaron. I am okay. Yeah, we're back in business, back to meeting and, you know, talking about lots of stuff, right?
A ton of stuff, right?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
It's a busy month.
It's a busy month, and, you know, we have this, COVID-19 on top of it, which is just on everybody's minds. And so it's kind of like occupying everything.
Yeah.
You know, all our decisions now are like, is this a good decision? Should we be meeting? Should we bringing people into our meeting rooms?
Right. I mean, that's ultimately the concern, because we've got public meetings that are happening.
Yeah.
We've got an election that's going on. We've got primaries that are happening. And you got to continue to do all of those things because that's open, transparent, democratic government.
Right.
You just got to be like concerned and thinking about that in the back of your mind.
Yeah, and you know, we're talking about this. I don't want the public to not think that we're not talking about it. We are. There's a policy committee that was formed, and it has the mayors, myself, and the managers, as well as all emergency services, police, fire, and, you know, anyone that you can think of, and including UNC. So let's not leave them out. They're part of that. And so there are ongoing conversations, and we are trying to do our best to keep the public up to date on everything. So, you know, the health department has taken the lead. They will update the webpage every single day. But it changes from minute to minute. So, you know, yesterday, the state of emergency for the state. We're not quite there yet, and we're not quite understanding what needs to be canceled and what doesn't yet. I met with some of the mayors. Pam was not with us today, but we talked a little bit about how we can look at our agendas and maybe try and push out some of the things that would bring crowds to our meeting rooms. But, you know, Aaron, we're going into budget season.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people want to talk about the budget. It's a little complicated.
Are there ways for, and I know the answer to this is already yes, but are there additional ways for the county board and town boards to be reaching out to members of the public and soliciting input on the budget without having it be in person at a meeting?
Yeah, so we do, you know, we do that on our website, especially
with
amendments, and we have pages open, and the manager and her team just keep all the comments and start adding that to what the amendment pages would be. So that can happen. And if it does turn out where we can't meet in public, the county has the ability to. It's already set up because we knew that this would come someday where we can't all be in the same room together. And it's been passed through our legal department, so we know we can do it. And the towns, on the other hand, do not have that set up yet. So we're going to work with them to try and make sure that they can set it up. We know, for example, at Carborough's meeting yesterday, two of the members were not there, of the town council member. One wasn't feeling well, and the other one's a little bit hesitant about, you know, quite frankly, about being in a room with people. It's a concern. We need to, you know, be very, very closely coordinating, collaborating, and keeping these conversations open.
Yeah, and to take as many precautions as possible. So with that in mind, what is the message from the county right now? What should people be doing, and what maybe are people doing that isn't helpful?
Yeah, so right now, we're letting the state take the lead on calling the emergency. What we're doing is we're still encouraging people, if they don't feel good, to really think about what they don't feel good. You know, Gene and I were just talking about it's allergy season, right? So on top of like not feeling good, everybody is sneezing and all. Washing your hands is so important, and I don't know when we came to the point where we had to remind people to wash their hands, but we do. We have never not been at that point.
There are signs everywhere that people ignore, and that's always been the case.
Wash your hands. You get up and anyway.
We've all been in that experience of like being in a public restroom and someone walks out of the stall and just sachets on. You're like, what? Seriously, what?
Yeah, really. So now we cannot do that. But, you know, as schools start closing, we know Duke is closing. We know that there's a possibility that other schools in our area are going to close. We'll start having parents thinking about, like, well, when are we going to close the elementary schools? Do we need to close the elementary schools? So all of this is ongoing conversations. And, you know, as Mayor Weaver said, let's not panic, but let's seem like we're really, you know, trying to do this outreach and trying to go overboard mm-hmm. when it comes to protect our residents of Orange County. So I think that's what we're all in that state of mind right now.
Yeah, I think responding calmly and seriously without panicking or going over the
right.
top.
And
I think
Aaron,
that's great for
right.
everyone.
And we're going to use you and the radio station to mm-hmm. try to get the message out. What I am going to say here, it is just so important. Please don't rely on social media for mm-hmm. information. You know, we just went through an election cycle, and I could tell you what I read on social media. I want to tell you 90% of it was not true. And if we're going to have the same thing happen with the coronavirus, and people are going to listen to what's happening on social media, then we're in worse trouble than we think.
Yeah.
So please go to the reliable source. You know, call the mayors, call me, send us emails. You know, just make the contact. It's fine. We're there for you 24/7.
Yeah, and listen to the scientists, I think,
please,
first and foremost.
Please listen to the science.
So speaking with County Commissioner Penny Rich, with all of that in mind, speaking of big things that are happening this month, we've got a census coming up.
We do.
With events that are planned to get people out and filling out the census together.
Exactly.
So how does this work?
On the 16th. And, you know, so right now we're not canceling anything. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it can change day to day. I think we have about 7 cases or presumptive cases, or 7 that I think that are real, and then we have some presumptive cases because people went to this Biogen conference.
What's the 7 presumptive cases includes the Biogen?
Biogen, yeah. So, you know, we're monitoring it.
Mm-hmm.
We would still like people to come out so they can learn about the census. And, you know, where I just got a text from Todd McGee, who's heading up this, and you know, we're just going to keep things on board right now. Now, you know, it is interesting if UNC does close and those students aren't here on April 1st when the census happens, where do they get counted?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a challenge, right? Because there's about 30,000 additional people that are in Chapel Hill that need to be counted. And if they're not here because of spring break and they went home and they weren't allowed to come back.
Right. It's wherever
happens?
You happen to be on April 1st.
On April 1st, right?
Yeah. Right.
And so, you know, we could lose out on some money if that's the case. So we're trying to get some answers on that. But yeah, we want to keep people engaged. We want to make sure that everyone is counted still. And yeah, that's going to be a challenge.
Speaking with County Commissioner Penny Rich, orangecountync.gov for more information on county government. County Board did meet last night
with
a number of items on the agenda, including the 203 South Greensboro project, which we've been talking with Mayor Lavelle about because that's such a big Carver project, but it's an Orange County project, too.
It is also. And, you know, it's interesting. There was a comment that came through yesterday about not hearing about the project or hearing about the different combinations of what could be in that building. And I was with Mayor Lavelle this morning. We were kind of like we had a smile about it because, yeah, I mean, this has been, 20 years now we've been talking mm-hmm. about this? And it has gone through different iterations, right? The Art Center was going to be there for a while, not. And now we're thinking about moving the Skills Development Center there because we're going to have to move out of that building next month. Kind of makes sense to have skills development and library, and if there's a possibility of adding an additional floor for maybe some incubator space. It's an exciting project, and so the board voted. Commissioner Dorson was not there. He was out of town. So it was a 5-1 vote to move forward with the library and the Skills Development Center. Additional parking spots, you know, there's always that conversation around parking. Parking's expensive, though. I mean, it's about $25,000 a spot.
Wow.
Which is just amazing when you think about it, yeah. And so there's something like 80-something spots there now, and at the end there'll be about 150 or so. 50 are dedicated to the library, and then we're going to have to dedicate some to the Skills Development Center.
Yeah.
But it's right on a bus line. It makes sense to be there. So we're moving forward. We've told the manager, move forward.
It's really interesting because right now there is no building. It's just the lot. And as long as that's the case, there's just so many possibilities, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Carver is really doing a great job. They are great partners in this. I have to say, the Town Council of Carver, I really give them, you know, good kudos to them for wanting to explore and you know, open up the, you know, think outside the box. What else could be there?
So. Commissioners also had a public hearing on the capital improvement plan.
So, yeah, about a $45 million bond that we're looking at. And this is a limited obligation bond. And I had to go back and explain this because this is one of those things that got out on Facebook that was not true. A bond, like, for example, that we took out for the schools, that we go to the people of the residents of Orange County to ask about. That's a general obligation bond, and you pay back differently, and it has a different rate. Limited obligation bond is strictly what your elected officials can do, and that's why you elect people to office so they can do jobs like this. The largest item on that, of course, is the $29 million for the Northern Campus, which will have the detention center and Parks and Recs, and you know a couple of the Ag Center, and so that'll all be up on 70, and that's the majority of that bond. The next largest number on there was $8.6 million for school projects, and that was for some of the older schools to bring them into a little bit better compliance with their safety issues. And then, you know, the rest is just kind of fill-ins here and there, $100,000 here, $100,000 there. And that passed. No one came to speak about it, even though there was a lot of chatter on Facebook and beforehand that people were going to come in and, yeah, we can't do this. No, and it passed just fine. So, we'll be looking out to get more detail on that in the spring.
Other things out of the meeting?
We did talk a little bit about the reservoir up in Hillsboro, and they're going to try to get a little bit more water in there now, right? And that has an effect on people that live around the reservoir. That brought out the most amount of people to talk because they were concerned about, if they have some failures such as septic, will the rest of their land be able to perk? And so that's always a tough discussion. We actually held off on that public hearing to make a decision to just get some answers to the residents. I think it'll move forward, but just so we can ease the mind of some folks out there. That'll be happening. I guess in the next 2 weeks, we'll try to bring that back. Yeah.
Speaking with County Commissioner Penny Rich, again, orangecountync.gov for more information on county government. Other things on your minds?
Well, you know, I think besides budget coming up and the real, you know, we start talking about CIP in general, we are still looking at different ways to try and find some funding for schools and try to, and again, this is ongoing. It's been ongoing for years to try and meet some maintenance needs. We also have, we're talking about pre-K, and right now some of the pre-K students are not being counted in the SAFO plan, and that's been somewhat of a discussion. And, we're going to bring that to a work session, I think, in April, if all goes well and we can continue to meet, just to have that discussion right before we have the joint meeting with the schools, because there are ramifications. To start counting people, especially with the General Assembly throwing these unfunded mandates on us about class size, it could trigger building of a school. And what does that mean? Can we afford to build a school right now? Do we really need a school right now, especially out in the county when you have 850 kids going to charter school? Mm-hmm. And we hold the schools harmless. We hold those 850 seats open because we have to. So they're counted, they're almost counted twice, right? Once at the charter school, and then we have to hold the seats for them open in case they want to come back. So, ongoing challenges with that and, dealing with the state, but we'll get there. Right. I'm positive.
OrangeCountyNC.gov for more information on county government. Penny Rich, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.